something kind of stood out at me. The Lord kind of sparked me to write a message on this. I started it this morning before church, and I finished it this afternoon. Proverbs chapter 4. We should be somewhat quick tonight, but I don't know how quick. Proverbs chapter 4. I want to read the first, 8 verses. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved, in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forsake it not, or forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. Lord, thank you for the good music we've heard. And thank you, Lord, for the hymns that we've sung. And thank you, Lord, for the benedicts in that song. Lord, really, all we need is your presence.
That's right.
For Christmas. And come on. We get so downtrodden with trying to buy for people, and we get so concerned about this time of year. And Lord, help us to just realize the real and true meaning of Christmas.
That's right.
It's your birth. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we should celebrate that not just once a year. We should celebrate that all the time. Because if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have your life. We wouldn't have your death. We wouldn't have your resurrection. We'd have no hope of eternal life. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, tonight for this. Help us to be good witnesses and good testimonies to our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, people that we work with this time of year. Help us, Lord, to pass out tracts. Help us, Lord, to be attentive to your will. And Lord, we just pray and ask that you would bless this season. And we pray that we'd see souls saved. We pray that we'd see good turnouts in our church services. Lord, now bless the message tonight. Help us to see these things that you showed me this morning. And Lord, I pray that this would be a blessing and an encouragement to all of us here tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was reading this morning, something really stood out at me. And really, it was there in verse 6. When it said, Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. When we read through the book of Proverbs, you'll see that wisdom is something that is always being written about. The writer of Proverbs, was primarily Solomon, as we know. And I believe that he wrote this passage of Scripture, of course. And when I was thinking about this, it says that we need to love her. Well, who do we love? It says love her. What is that talking about? Who's that talking about? Or what is that talking about? It's wisdom. It's wisdom. We need to love wisdom. The problem that we have today is we're in love with all the wrong things.
Right.
I'll say that again. We're in love with all the wrong things today. 1 John chapter 2, you know these verses, but I wrote them down and we're going to take a look real quick at them. 1 John chapter 2. First John 2 and verse 15 through 17. The Bible tells us what not to love. Now, if you're keeping notes tonight, I encourage you to write these things down. I'm going to give you 6 things that we need to love tonight. 6 things that we need to love. But it says here in verse 15 of 1 John 2, love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the Bible tells us not to love the world. Neither the things that are in the world. Here's our problem tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is we're loving a lot of these things that are in the world.
That's right.
We hold them up, and we love them, and we cherish them. Some people are in love with all of the wrong things today.
That's right.
We're in love with all of the material possessions that we have. We say we love this, we say we love that. Now listen, I'm not against you loving something or liking something. But we need to be careful as to where our love is directed.
Amen.
Some people say, I love my job, and I think that's good. If you love your job, you don't work a day in your life. Right? I mean, you should really enjoy what you... If you hate your job, quit and find another one.
Amen.
Yeah. People that, I hate my job, I hate this company, I hate this, and then find something else and stop complaining about it. But you should enjoy what you do.
Amen.
You should, you know, I don't know about love your job, but you should like what you do anyway. I think we should all do that. But the problem is we're loving the things of this world.
That's right.
We're loving the material riches and the material possessions of the world. And we're loving the wrong things today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Look at that, Matthew 6, 24. And then I'll give you the six things that we do need to love. Simple message, but the Lord gave it to me today as I was reading that proverb this morning. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Y'all know what mammon is. It's riches, it's material possessions, it's things. It's what it is. And so the Bible simply says you can't do both. You're either going to love your things or you're going to love God. That's just the way it works. You can't love God and mammon. You can't love God. You can't love your Lord and Savior and love all these things that you possess also. The things that we possess in life can be handy, can be helpful, can serve us. But that's what they need to do. We should never get to the point where we worship these things.
That's right.
And lift them up to the point where we love them more than God. There are people today that they love themselves. They're madly in love with themselves.
Yeah.
So much so that they won't even come to church. They've got all their other things they want to do on a Sunday or a Wednesday night. Because they love what they're doing. They love themselves. We need to love God. I'm going to give you six things here in a minute that we need to love. And so we need to be careful. Tonight I think we ought to all examine the things that we love in life and take a good close look at it. Is this something we should be loving, or am I supposed to be loving these six things here tonight? We're supposed to be loving these six things here tonight. Number one, write this down if you're going to keep notes. We'll go back to our text in Proverbs 4. We need to love wisdom. The Bible tells us to love wisdom. Is there anything wrong with loving wisdom, godly wisdom?
No.
Of course not. Now, there are two kinds of wisdom. We know that. There's godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. And you probably have your own wisdom also.
Yeah.
But we need to learn how to love godly wisdom. God's wisdom is something that the Bible tells us that we need to love. We just read that in verse 6 of Proverbs 4. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her. Love her. We are to love wisdom, and she shall keep thee. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. So that's why we're to love this thing. The first several, 8-9 chapters of Proverbs just pretty much deals with the subject of wisdom and how we need to apply it to our life. Godly wisdom. But again, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. All thy getting, get understanding. When you have wisdom, godly wisdom, you'll get the understanding that you need. Our young people, listen, and even us old folks, we need godly wisdom every day in our life.
That's right.
Some of you may not know what to do yet in life. Some of you are teenagers, and we might ask, hey, what are you going to do in life? And you might say, I don't know. And that's fine, but you need to start asking God what God would have you to do. What does God want for you in your own personal life? You need to ask God for that. Ask God for that direction. Ask God for that wisdom. Who does He want you to marry? You need to ask God about that. Male or female, it doesn't matter. But you should be asking God, even as a young teenager, you should be saying, God, let me not marry the wrong person, please. Let me marry the right person. God, direct me into the life that you want me to be. Lord, if you want me to go to college, make that clear. Lord, if you don't want me to go to college, make that clear.
Right.
God, if you want me to work in this particular place, show me that, God. Lead me. That's where that godly wisdom comes in, and that's what we all need. Every one of us. Even us old fogies need wisdom every day. I need God's wisdom. I don't have all the answers. I don't. Sometimes I'm not sure what God would have me to do. I'm getting up there at age, and I'm starting to ask God what He wants me to do in the future. I don't know what He has for me yet. Seriously. We need to ask God. God, You show me what to do. I don't want to make the wrong decisions. I've been here 32 and a half years. One of these days, I will probably step aside. But I don't want to do it out of God's will. I'm going to do it in God's will.
Amen.
If He wants me to do that. And then the church needs to ask God for the wisdom that He has to make sure the right pastor is here. I will certainly recommend, and I think that you probably know who that person would be. But it's really up to the church, not up to me when that time comes. But we need to ask God for wisdom. God, show me. Map it out. Tell me what You want me to do. Show me where You want me to go. And so we are to love wisdom. This is something that we need to love. Look at Proverbs 8 and verse 17. Proverbs 8, 17. Don't get any funny ideas. I'm not planning on going anywhere yet. I can see your eyeballs crossing back there.
What are you going to do, Pastor?
Don't know yet. Just trust in the Lord. Amen. Chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that love me. Well, what is that talking about? If you read the context, what is that? That's wisdom. Yeah. When you read that chapter, it's dealing with wisdom. So, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And so this, again, this is something that we need to love, is you need to love wisdom. And get all the wisdom you can get from God. God will never, ever will He direct your life in a wrong direction. I know Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in a road, take it. when you come to a fork in a road, you better ask God which way to go, right or left. And He will show you. He will show you exactly where to go and what He wants you to do. And don't make any wrong decisions. Don't do something that's not going to honor and glorify God.
Amen.
So number one is wisdom. Number two, write this down. We need to love God. Simply love God. Mark chapter 12. Mark 12 in verse 29. Mark 12, 29. You know these verses. This is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. I'm not giving you any big, grandiose, something deep and theological. This is not deep and theological. I forget who the preacher was. Oh, I think it was Tony Garraway. Says, leave it on the bottom shelf where everybody can get it. I like that. Mark chapter 12, verse 29. Mark 12 in verse 29. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And so we are to love God. You know that. That's not nothing new. You've been around church long enough to know that. We talk a lot about that. Loving God. Just love Him. How much do you love God? You ever ask yourself that? God, how much do I love You? Do I love You more than all my things? Do I love You more than my job? Do I love You more than my family? Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, we're supposed to love God more than our family. Husbands, you're to love God before even your wife. Wives, you love God more than you love your husband. Children, you love God more than you love your parents. And parents, you love God more than you love your children. Now, when you do it the right way, you're going to love your parents. Don't get me wrong.
Good.
That preacher said, I don't have to love my parents. Is that what we're saying? And it's not that you don't have to love your wife or your husband or your children or your parents. That's not the case. When you love God with all your heart, everything else is going to fall right into place.
Right.
I'll tell you what, husbands are going to love their wives when they're loving God.
Right.
Wives are going to love their husbands when they're loving God. Children are going to love their parents when they're loving God. And parents are going to love their children when the parents are loving God. And so that's important, to love God with all of our hearts. Jesus said, again, there in verse 30, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And so when you think about our entire heart that we're to love the Lord with, that means nothing is to come in and push God out. is our problem today. Many things are creeping into our lives at times, and it pushes God aside. Yeah. Throws God in the back seat. Throws God way. Throws God out of our lives sometimes. Mm-hmm. And just push the Lord out of their lives because all of these other things have become more important. Your soul is your breath. It's your will. It's your emotions. We're to love God with all of our breath. Every breath you take is given to you by God Almighty. You don't breathe the air, the oxygen that He's given you unless except by the grace of God. I was going to do this yesterday. I got thinking. You ever just start thinking? I was going to sit down and figure out how many beats my heart has beaten since I've been born.
A lot.
Even in the womb, my heart was beating. Amen?
Amen.
But a lot. Yeah. I don't know. I want to try to figure it out. And maybe somebody, has anybody ever figured that out? At my age, this heart is still beating. Even Rich's heart is still beating. He's got a little help with it. I'm telling you, our heart is an amazing.
Yeah.
As Brother Stiles touched on a little bit this morning, this creation that God has done, He has done an amazing thing. This heart just keeps beating and pumping blood throughout our whole body.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing. This lasts longer than any battery I know.
That's right.
And God just keeps it beating. As Brother Stiles said this morning, when your heart stops, watch out, you're done.
You're in trouble.
He said you're in trouble, but I don't know. When your heart stops as a Christian, we just go to heaven.
Yeah.
To me, that's not trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
Nope.
Sorry.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But do we love Him with all of our soul? That's all of our breath, our will, and our emotions. Some people are extremely emotional. You're so emotional that everything else is just shoved out of your life.
Yeah.
Well, you're to love God with your emotions. You're to love God with your will to the point where it's in line with God's will.
Right.
And then we're to love God with our mind. That's our thoughts. As Brother Tom again said this morning, this brain that God gave us outweighs any computer that man has ever come up with. Computers are amazing today.
Yeah.
They really are. You can have a computer in a phone that does. These are called smartphones, and it's smarter than me. It's smarter than us. The computer in these little devices is just incredible. But our brain is far beyond what man can even comprehend. You take this brain out, and man can't make another brain and stick it in.
Right.
Your brain is gone. That's it. It's gone. Man has not figured out how to build another brain yet. I don't think man has figured out how to stick a computer in our minds. But listen, your brain is part of your body. And that is how we're to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and then, of course, our strength. That's our power. That's our ability to do things. Some people, they get so discouraged and depressed, they can't get out of bed in the morning. I'll tell you why. Because you're not loving God with all your strength. You turn your strength over to God, and He'll get you up and get you going. There's people I pray that God will give them stamina and strength in the day. Get them going. God, please, get so-and-so going. Give them the strength that they need.
Amen.
And so we are to love God, as Jesus said, with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. Thirdly, we need to love others. We're right there in that passage, verse 31. And second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How much do you love other people? Here's our problem. We love us more than we love other people at times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we don't have any room for loving other people. Because we, at times, are so much madly in love with ourselves, we have no love for somebody else. But we are to love others. Jesus told us to do that. Told us to love others. And that's something that we are to do. So, we're to love wisdom. We're to love God. We're to love others. And fourthly, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Get through these before the voice goes. If I start coughing, I'm going to say amen and we're done. Okay. Asking God to help me through tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, we need to what? Love our wives.
Amen.
This is something that we are to love. I'm talking about things to love. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Drop down there to verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And so, guys, we are commanded and told by God in the Scriptures, we are told to love our wives. I know ladies aren't commanded to love their husbands. Ladies got an out there, I guess. I don't know. But no, over in the book of Timothy, the Bible talks about how the elder lady is to teach the younger to love their husbands. And so ladies are to love their husbands. So ladies, don't think that, you know, I don't have to love my husband, but he's got to love me. If the husband really loves his wife, she's going to love him. Doug Benedict was talking about two men that he knew of last week, or I think it was, that walked out on their wives or families. You know why? They didn't love their wife like they should have loved their wives. I'm sure that they loved their wives at one time, at one point. When I counsel people, many times after, if they're going through some marital problems, many times I'll just simply ask the question, did you love her when you married her? And they always say, well, of course we loved one another when we got married. And the next question is simply, well, what happened?
That's right.
What happened? Something happened. And I know exactly what happened. The love for the one waned and kind of was less than what the love they thought they had when they got married. Now, I will say this. Your love is not the same when you get married and almost 50 years later. Right. Our love is different today than it was back almost 50 years ago. Our love over time grows.
That's right.
Our love over time strengthens.
That's right.
Our love over time is just, it is. It just, it kind of, please understand the term that I'm going to use. It just popped into my brain. I'll use it. You may not like the term or the word, but our love evolves in a good way for our spouses. Over time, the man is to love his wife more than he did when he said, I will, or I do. And vice versa for the woman. The woman is to love her husband more over time. We have some newlyweds here. Now, Buck and Roberta, they've been married previously, and they're old. No offense. These two never been married before. And how old are you, Gabe? 34? You think you're 34? Okay. Rest of you're 26? 26. They're just kids. And I know, yeah, the babies. I know they love one another. I can tell. They do. They love one another. But I will say this. Your love is going to evolve and grow over the years. You just got married yesterday. No offense on this. Please don't take it in the wrong way. But I mean, really, you're not sure exactly how love is yet. You will find out what love is over time.
That's right.
When trials and tribulations come your way, and guess what? They will come your way. Trials will hit both of you in your marriage. And you got to determine, I'm going to love him and you're going to love her no matter what.
That's right.
If you get bad news that somebody is sick and, you know, some horrible thing is going to take place, you still love them. You love them. You love the other. Because that's how, what God has done. God has brought us together for that purpose. And for that reason. And so, we just, the Lord told us to love our wives. Now, I don't know why he commanded us to love our wives. We're told to love our wives. And maybe God knows the man. Obviously he does. Maybe God knows that the man is... Well, come on, ladies. Admit it. Sometimes we're unlovable. Amen?
Amen.
Some of us are. Come on, admit it. We are. Sometimes us men are... We're gross. We're grotesque. We're just slob sometimes, right? Okay, dear, I'll move on. She's going. No. What did you say?
You're depressing me.
It's love. You're going to love me anyway, right? She's used to me.
Mature love. Mature love.
I'm used to you too, you know.
Very mature love.
Yeah. But God told us to love our wives. So we are to love them. Even when they're unlovable, we are to love them. All right, let me move on. She wants me to move on. I'll get yelled at later if I don't. So come on. Gotta get going. No, I'm just kidding. Number five. Go to the book of Psalms. Psalm 119. I got two more here, so bear with me. Psalm 119. We need to love the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Look at verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. All the verses on the Word of God that we're going to talk about here right now, found right in this passage of Scripture, or I should say in this chapter. In Psalm 119, verse 97, it says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." So the question tonight is, how much do you love the Word of God, the Bible? We are to be loving God's Word. This should be the most important book that you read. It should be the most important book in your entire life, is this book. This should be more important than your TV shows.
Amen.
And your computer time. And your telephone. And your cell phone time. And your device. This should be the most important thing that you do.
Amen.
You need to spend time in God's Word every day. You know where we stand on that. We all know where the Word of God is. We have a copy of the pure, perfect, preserved, inerrant Word of God. Look at 113. 113, it says, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." Speaking about the Word of God. These are phrases or words that the psalm writer used for the Word of God. So, "but thy law do I love." Verse 119. "Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies." Verse 127. "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold." Yea, above fine gold. Really? You really love the Word of God more than money? More than riches? More than the things of this world? More than your paycheck? Do you love God more than whatever income that you have? Or the idea of getting money? The psalm writer said that he loved the commandments above gold.
Mm-hmm.
Above gold. Above money. Now, we need money to survive. We all know that. We've got to have it, or we're not going to survive. But he was saying he loves the Word of God above gold. And so we do. Above, yea, above fine gold. The good stuff. And then 163. "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." 165, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." 167, "My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly." Mm. Exceedingly. We are to love the Word of God. The amount of time you spend in this book tells you how much love you have for it. Mm. How much study you put into the Word of God tells you how much love you have for it.
That's good.
Yeah. Preachers that don't preach the Word of God from a pulpit tells me one thing: they don't love God's Word.
That's right.
They don't love it. Churches that don't lift the Word of God up, they don't love God's Word. Christians within the church that don't love the Word of God, they're not obeying the Word of God. There's a real serious problem today in a lot of churches. And so we are to love the Word of God. Finally, go back to Ephesians 5. I'm going to give you one more thing that we need to love here tonight. Ephesians 5. So we love, number one, what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Number two?
God.
Number three?
God.
Number four?
Life.
Number five?
Lord.
And number six, we are to love the church.
Amen.
We're to love the church. And I'll show you why. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. Ephesians 5, 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also what? Loved the church and what? Gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. When I read those verses, I thought about this. If Jesus loves the church, here's the question, should we?
Absolutely.
Now, the Bible there doesn't tell us to love the church, you know, like it did in the other verses that I just gave you. But if Jesus loves something, I think that we ought to love it too.
Amen.
If he died for the church and gave himself for it and loved it that much, should we love the church also?
Yes.
Amen.
I think that's one of the things that we Christians need to love.
Yeah.
Now, you're not putting the church above God. You're not putting the church above that. You're not putting your wife or your husband above God. You're not putting wisdom above God. But all of these things, they blend together. And all of these things are things that we need to love tonight. We're to love wisdom and God and others and our wife and the Word of God. And we are to love the church. I believe that when you love the church, you're going to want to be in the church. When you love the church, you're going to want to pray for the church. When you love the church, you're going to want to give to the church. When you love the church, you're going to want to get involved in the ministries of the church. Remember, Jesus died for the church. Died for the church. Isn't that what the Bible says? He gave himself for it. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. I'm sure you know that verse, Acts 20, 28. Acts 20, 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Again, he purchased the church with his own blood. I would say that the church is pretty important in the eyes of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said in Matthew, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so would you say the church is fairly important?
Amen.
Absolutely. It's a very important entity upon this planet. No church can save a soul, but we can present the gospel to a soul that needs to be saved in our church from the pulpit or from the witnessing, from the ministries, from Sunday school, from whatever. That's how important the church is. And so I believe that we ought to love it.
Amen.
You should love your church.
Amen.
You say, you know what? I love that church. Amen. I even love that preacher down there. Crazy guy. But you know why? Because we love one another.
That's right.
We love one another. And so there are some things to love and there's some things not to love. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Simply means, doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It just means that you've replaced God's love with your love of the things that you love. That's what that verse is talking about. God never stops loving us. Never. Never, never, never will God ever stop loving you as an individual. He'll never cross his arms and say, that's it, Terry Fenton, you're done. I don't love you anymore.
That's right.
He'll never do that to you, no matter what you do in your life. No matter how far away you get from God, he'll always love you, just like that prodigal son when he came back to his father.
Amen.
That father loved his son no matter what.
Amen.
And took him in, no questions asked. He didn't say, now, where have you been? Who have you been running around with? What did you do with all the money I gave you? Did you notice he never asked those questions?
That's right.
He just received them back.
Amen.
Put a ring on his finger and a robe on his back and shoes on his feet. And he treated him as royalty. It's because the Father loved that wayward son. As when we go wayward, God still loves us.
Amen.
We serve such an amazing God.
Yeah, that's right.
We serve a wonderful God. We serve a God that loves us when sometimes we don't love him. Or we don't act like we love him. He still loves us. So, there are some things to love and there's some things not to love. Make sure that you love the right things tonight. Father, thank you again for the message and thank you, Lord, for your word. And we just praise you and thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to every heart that's here tonight. You know the spiritual needs. You know, Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that's spiritually sick, Lord, I pray that you would work in that heart and soul. If there's a lost person here tonight that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, we pray that through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God tonight that soul would come to the saving knowledge of you. Lord, I pray maybe there is a wayward Christian here tonight, or maybe somebody listening online. I don't know. I never know who's listening online. But Lord, you know. And so I pray, Lord, maybe that some of the things that were said tonight would draw people back to you again. That's our goal. That's our prayer, is for people to be drawn closer to you. We love you, Lord, tonight, and thank you for loving us. We don't deserve your love. We really don't. But Lord, thank you for that love. And thank you, Lord, for your grace. And thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for dying for us on that cross. Thank you for the blood that you shed for us on that cross. You're such a wonderful God. Again, we just want to praise you and thank you tonight for that. Bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.